Well, it's already been a wonderful day with baptisms and singing to the Lord and all that, but now we get to hear God's word, and I've invited Joel Williams to be the one to bring the word to us today. If you were here in August, I think it was, late August, I'd asked Joel to preach then as I went on a short-term trip overseas, and Joel handled the word well and taught us, but the reason I wanted him to come back and preach to us now, along with his wife Melissa, who's with him today, I wanted Joel to bring the word to us because he and Melissa are soon to return to the field. So they already have a long career with International Mission Board, serving in places like Mexico and South Asia and Thailand, I think back to Mexico, in most recent years training missionaries who are going out all over the world. But now the Lord has called Joel and Melissa back themselves overseas. They'll be in Southern Africa. He's going to talk about that a little bit in a moment. And I wanted to have him up here in front of you so that you would know here are two additional Staples Mill members who are soon going to be on the other side of the earth with the gospel for another term of service, and I want you to know who they are, and I want you to be able to pray for them, to know these are among those that you support. And of course, we support 3,500 other missionaries around the world as well through our giving to the cooperative program, Lottie Moon Christmas offering and all that. But I want you to know Joel and Melissa as they get ready to go, really in the early days of January. So we are so, so grateful. So Joel, let me invite you to come on up. Brother, thank you for sharing in the last two services. Thanks for doing it again. We look forward to hearing the word of God through you.
Thanks, Jim. It's an honor and a joy to preach to you, my church family. And I'm so thankful to Pastor Jim for him offering me this opportunity. My wife and I have been serving as missionaries for many years, and we get to go back to the mission field, and we would love to have you a part of our prayer team. We're going to be serving as missionaries in South Africa, but we're also going to provide leadership to the work in all of Southern Africa, which includes the countries of Namibia, Botswana, South Africa, Lesotho, Eswatini, Madagascar, Mauritius, and Seychelles. And you guys believe in prayer? Raise your hand if you believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. And we're asking God to give us 1,000 prayer warriors because we know that nothing that we do will amount to anything unless God does it. And we know your prayers are going to pave the way for whatever God wants to do. So we have some prayer cards that I just brought one to show you. Just a prayer card just to encourage you to pray. And you can pick one of those up out on the table when you head out of here, or if you don't get it today, we are here every Sunday. So but we'd encourage you, maybe we have three ways. One is just download the Signal app. It's a free app for your phone. And then once you download that app, you can click on the little QR code, and that will put you on our Signal prayer team. And what we're going to do is just send out a short prayer request once a week. So we're asking you to pray for us once a week. Or you could join our Facebook prayer team. That exact same prayer request will go out each week. Or you can join our email prayer team, and we put our email there too. But we're just counting on your prayers. You know, when we started talking to leadership about, they were talking to us about going to South Africa, we found out that South Africa is most one of the most dangerous countries in the world. I don't know if you knew that or not. I didn't know that. And 3 of the 10 worst cities for crime in the world are in South Africa. That's where we're going. So, this is how you can help us. You can pray every time you hear a siren. Let that just kind of jog your memory. Oh, I need to pray for Joel and Melissa and the people over in South Africa. Would you do that for us? Just pray for us. We're counting on your prayers. Obviously, we're going with knowing that the Lord is our ultimate protection, but he's going to use your prayers to take care of us and to use us. So we're not asking just for prayer for protection. We're asking that the gospel will go forth as we serve there. I want to start by surveying the crowd. How many of you have been to at least 3 countries in the world? Would you raise your hand? 3 countries. Wow, that's like 3/4 of the... Okay, how many of you have been to at least 10 countries? That's still a fairly good number. How many of you have been over 20 countries? You raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. I see a few. Knew I'd have the Pompelli's hand up. You know, it's incredible. Do you know how many countries we have in the world today? How many nations? Well, the internet says there are 195, and the internet's always true. So we're going to go with 195 countries. But, you know, you probably already know is the Greek word in the New Testament for nations is not actually talking about those 195 countries. It's actually the word pantata ethne, which is the Greek word for ethnos, or all of the ethnos, or the peoples, or all of the peoples. And so that's what I want to be talking about this morning, is those peoples. And of all the peoples, there's over 12,000 people groups in the world today. Internet told me that too. So, and over 7,000 of those are considered unreached. And over 3,000 of those are considered unreached and unengaged. What does that mean, a people group that's unreached? Let me give you an example of an unreached people group. Not long ago, my brother, who's a pastor down in New Orleans, led a mission team to the country of Guinea in West Africa. And they were going to the forest region in Guinea, which is, and Guinea's one of the most unreached countries in all of Africa. And they're going to work with the Konyaka people group. And that people group has about 250,000. And they were working in five villages. They met a few people who professed Christ. None of them had been baptized for fear of persecution from the Muslims that are there. And there are zero churches among the Konyaka. That's what it means to be unreached. The gospel is just trying to reach there. It's just starting to reach there, but there's no churches. And that's what I want to talk about in a little bit, is just about the, when I say the nations, I want you to think peoples, people groups, and then I also want you to think about nations who don't know God. So I'm not talking about the USA or other countries, I'm talking about the peoples. And I want to talk not just about the nations, but I want to speak this morning about God's heart for the nations. It's clear in the Bible, but sometimes we overlook it. Sometimes we miss it. I know I was growing up. Anybody grew up in church? A few hands. Okay, I grew up in church, and we learned all the stories in the Old Testament, the stories in the New Testament, and I thought that the Bible was about, the Old Testament was about the nation of Israel, and then the New Testament was about Jesus and the early church, and that's true, but one thing that I missed growing up was that God's heart was for the nations all throughout the Bible. He wasn't just concerned about Israel. He was actually using Israel because his heart was for all of the nations. And somehow, I don't know about you, but I miss that. But God's heart is for the nations. Before we get into that, I want to share three overarching truths that run through the Bible. If you take notes, these would be a good one to write down. These are truths from the Bible. The first is that God desires to bless his creation. This truth is throughout Scripture. God created everything, and he desires to bless his creation. The second overarching truth is that God is about his glory among the nations. He wants his glory to be known in all the nations. And then number three, he has given us, his family, his church, the responsibility of sharing the good news of his salvation with all the nations. Why? Because he wants the nations to worship him. Okay? First, God wants to bless his creation. Number two, he wants he's about his glory among all the nations. And three, he's given us the responsibility of sharing that gospel, that salvation to all the nations so that the nations will worship him. And I want to do that by looking at Psalm chapter 67. So if you have a copy of God's word either in your hand or on a phone or device or something, would you just turn to Psalm chapter 67. I'm going to read the whole psalm, all seven verses, but we're going to focus mostly on verses 1 through 3. And so let's read God's word together, Psalm chapter 67. And I want you to hear God's heart for the nations. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine upon us, Selah, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that takes your word and illuminates our minds and our hearts. And that's what we'd ask that you would do today. Lord, just kind of help me not to be a stumbling block, but help me to be used by the Holy Spirit to just illuminate your word, that your Holy Spirit would do what only you can do. Help us to understand it, to understand how much you love the nations, and to see our part in the nations knowing you. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked about the fact that God wants to bless creation. And it's interesting because when the psalmist prayed for God to bless, you know he was actually praying what God already promised to do. Did you know that? In Genesis chapter 12, if you've read that part of the Bible, God is blessing Abraham. And this is what he said in Genesis chapter 12. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we are a people redeemed by God to be a part of his family, and we are blessed. He actually came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay for our sins, pay the debt that we couldn't pay, because that's what our sins deserve. But he offers us forgiveness of sin and to be a part of his family. And isn't that great? How many of you made that decision? You've trusted Christ with your life? Man, it's the greatest decision I ever made. I remember that day. We are blessed. And I think for honest, all of us have experienced God's blessings in one form or another. Were you blessed this week? Did you have a good Thanksgiving and thank God for how much he's blessed you? Anybody ate a lot? I know I did. You can see that. But, you know, in our family, we have a tradition, and our tradition is when we gather around the Thanksgiving meal, we kind of do this circle, and we just talk about all the things we're thankful for, which are blessings from God. And we just go around the room a few times, as many times as we can. And I thought we'd maybe do a little audience participation. Jim said it was okay. So I want you to just yell out some of your blessings, some of the blessings that we experience. If you'd be willing to, just yell them out. What are some of the blessings of God? Family. Salvation. Love. Health. Friends. Let's get a few more. Is that all y'all's blessings? Work, jobs, money, joy. We could be here all day sharing blessings of God, couldn't we? Aren't we a blessed people? Could I get an amen? Amen. God has blessed us. I wrote down a few in case you guys didn't do well. You did well, but I wrote salvation, being loved by God, purpose in life, wonderful church family, health, home to live in, car to drive, family, friends, safety, freedom to worship, money, jobs, living in the U.S. I could go on, and I know you could too. God wants to bless his creation, and he has, and we are recipients of God's blessing. Amen? God has blessed us. Now let's look for a moment in our scripture about the purpose for the blessing. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine upon us. He's done that. So that, and that, those two words kind of reveal, okay, this is what God's done. Why did he do it? So that, the purpose of God's blessing. You know, the purpose of God's blessing is so that his ways would be known among the in all the earth and his salvation among all the nations. You see that? See, God didn't just bless us so that we would be blessed. He actually blessed us so that we would make his ways known, his salvation among all the people. You know, because everything is about God's glory. God wants his glory to be known among the nations. When I think about verses that help us to understand about how he wants his glory to be known among all the nations, I pick a verse from the Habakkuk 2:14. It says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord's glory as the waters cover the sea." God wants his glory everywhere. And in the New Testament, I picked Romans 11:36. It says, "For him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever." God wants his glory everywhere because he's worthy. He deserves his glory to be known everywhere. But as a part of that, we have a responsibility. He's given us the responsibility of taking his salvation to the nations. He loves the nations, and he wants the nations to know him, and he wants the nations to worship him so that he can receive glory. One of the primary places where, you know, he says, so that his name would be known, his salvation among all nations, one of the primary places in the New Testament that helps us to understand that is the Great Commission. You know that. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Jesus has all the authority. So I remember a few years back, okay, it was a long time ago, I was taking my daughter to go to school in Thailand. And I don't know if you know it or not, but Thailand is one of those countries that is a monarchy, which means they have a king. And he has the final authority in that company, in that country. We were walking, my daughter and I were walking out to the road, and I don't speak Thai, maybe you do, but the policeman goes, "Boop." I don't speak Thai, but what does that mean? Stop, don't go anywhere. So we stood there, and I saw every other people that were walking, they just stopped. And it was real weird. It felt like it was forever. It's probably like 2-3 minutes. But we were just standing there, and I was like, okay. So like, what's going to happen here? And pretty soon, this car on the boulevard or the avenue in front of us goes, boom, and it flew by. And then the cop goes, and I'm like, oh, okay. So we all started walking again. It was just weird. And so I asked someone later on about that, and he said, oh, yeah, that was a member of the royal family in town, and everybody has to show respect to the royal family because they represent the king, and the king deserves our ultimate respect. Now, he had been ruling for like 60 years, and it was funny because they had a revolution, and the army took over the country in a coup. And you know what the first thing that the army commanders did? They went to the king and said, is it okay? Funny, huh? They took over the country, but they still had to go to the king because he's the ultimate authority. You know what? Jesus is over the Thai king. Jesus is over all kings. Jesus has all authority. And so when Jesus gives us an order, what do? We say, yes, sir. He's the one in control. And so if you've made Jesus your Lord, you're saying, I will follow your authority, and I will make disciples of all nations. Does that mean you're all going to be missionaries and move to another country in January with us? No, not necessarily. But it means he's the authority, and we're all a part of what God is doing. And so it's about making disciples. Okay? A friend of mine explained it this way. He said, a disciple who doesn't make disciples isn't. I'm like, that's weird. A disciple who doesn't make disciples isn't. What does that mean? It means if you're a disciple, your whole job as a disciple is to bring him glory by making other disciples. That's what we do. That's what Staples Mill Road Baptist Church is all about. That's what our life groups are about. That's what everything we do at this church. That's what all our finances are going for. We're about making a lot of Him and making disciples. What could that look like? I grew up in Liberia, West Africa, and my dad took me there a few years ago. Okay, it was more than a few years ago. But I was just four, and God called my parents to Liberia, West Africa. My dad, during his years there, my dad and my mom helped, and they and the Liberians started over 30 churches in that part of Liberia, in the upper Nimba County area. And my dad baptized over 3,000 individuals. He kept meticulous records, and it's really cool. We have those records now, and my name's on that list because I'm one of the disciples my dad made. I'm one of the ones that got baptized. But one of the first persons that my dad shared the gospel with in Liberia was Anthony Jonah, a man I respect highly, knew growing up. And Anthony Jonah learned to be a disciple, and Anthony also started sharing the gospel. And he shared the gospel with Momolu, and Momolu was a young man from a small village, and Momolu said, I want to follow Christ. And so Anthony Jonah began to disciple Momolu. And I spoke with Momolu recently, and he told me that. He said, yeah, your dad mentored me, and God blessed him. And he is now the president. Momolu is now the president of the Liberian Baptist Theological Seminary. And I went on a mission trip in March of this year, and I preached twice. Momolu invited me to preach at the seminary. And he said, Joel, I am here as a result of the fact that your dad shared the gospel, taught Anthony to make disciples, and that's why I'm here. And so now Momolu is leading the training of hundreds of men, young men and women, to carry the gospel to the nation of Liberia and beyond. In Southern Africa, where we're going to live and serve, the African believers and churches have started their own mission sending agency. It's called Africans on Mission. They want to send missionaries all over Africa and to the world. Because, you know, the Great Commission to make disciples wasn't given to Americans. It was given to all of us. And we're all in this together. Missions doesn't exist kind of like, we don't have like a missions part of Staples Mill. And, oh, yeah, once a year we bring out the crazies and they talk a little bit and we give a little money. And missions is about what we do. Missions is not a part of the church. It is the plan of God. It is the heartbeat of what we do. And we understand that when we see the heart of God for the nations. Have you thought about that? If that's what's on God's heart, it should be what's on our heart. It was God's plan from the beginning. I want you to close your eyes for just a minute, everybody. And I'm going to read a scene from the Bible, and I want you to imagine it with your eyes closed. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they're crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Did you see it? Were you there? I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? See, God, all of God's children, we'll all be there. It says there'll be people there, a multitude that no one can count. And there are going to be people there from every nation, from every tribe, from every people in their land. We're all going to be there, and we're going to be worshiping God. And it's going to be incredible because God loves the nations, and He wants the nations. He wants the peoples worshiping Him, surrounding their throne. And we're all going to be there. It's going to be incredible. But for that to become a reality, God has given us the job of helping the nations to know that, to know Him. It's not just for missionaries. This is God's plan for all of us. And what will that look like? Now we're going to get to the application part of my sermon. I've told you that God's heart for the nations. And okay, so what does that mean? How does that apply to me? How do I fit in? I'm going to give you five ways that if you really want to have God's heart for the nations, here are five things that you can be involved in this application of the sermon. Number one is prayer. You guys already told me you believed in prayer. And I think if we're going to have God's heart for the nations, we need to pray for the nations. And this is a great time to start. If you're not already doing it, if you're already doing it, praise the Lord. If you're not already doing it, start, even just take that first step and pray for Melissa and I and the people of South Africa. But go beyond that. Get that week of prayer guide. Begin to pray for the nations. You guys believe in prayer, right? And so we want to pray. Put feet to your mouth. If you say you believe in prayer, let's pray. So the first thing you can do is to pray. And like I said, we have our prayer cards out there. Would you get one of those and be reminded to pray? Whatever it takes to remind. Some people like put an alarm on their phone. We need more workers. And Luke 10:2, pray the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers. You might want to put a little alarm on your phone to go off at 10:20 every day just to remind you to pray. But we need to be about praying. Would you be a people that pray for the nations, that they would know him? Number two is giving. This is a time when we set aside as a church to give to the Lottie Moon offering for international missions. I don't know about if you realize it or not, but you're looking at your offering. What do you mean, Joel? My shoes, my pants, my jacket, my shirt, my car, the food I eat, the plane, the ticket that's going to pay for me to go to South Africa in January, the rent for my house, everything I do, when you give, that allows us to do that. And I'm grateful. And I want to say thank you. But we're all in this together. We want to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Some people view Lottie Moon Christmas offering as an opportunity to tip God in December. Oh, yeah, I'm on team God. Listen, if you're going, I want you to give sacrificially. And you can't really give sacrificially by going, oh, this is Lottie Moon Sunday, I better pull some money out. Listen, you got a plan to do something. You know, how many of you bought a house? Did it take a lot of planning? Yeah, it did. And you got to sacrifice. You got to cut some things out. You got to save. And my wife and I, we do our plan every year. And if we don't save every month, when Lottie Moon season comes around, all we got is a little tipping for God. But we want our giving to reflect God's heart for the nations. So if it's important to God, it should be important to us. So I want to encourage you to give sacrificially. Melissa and I promise we're going to give sacrificially. And I just want to ask you to join with us. Join with all the other people who are giving sacrificially. A goal of 181,000, we can blow that out because we're going to give sacrificially. And then for next year, maybe do more and say, man, my giving, that was just a little bit. I want to really get involved in God's heart for the nation. So the first thing we can do if you want to get in on God's heart for the nations is to pray. And the second thing is giving. And then the third is it includes sharing the gospel with the nations right here in Richmond. I was doing some research for this on the web, and it said there are 115,000 people in Richmond who were born in another country. 115,000 people that live in Richmond that were born in another country. Richmond is home to 50 to 60 distinct languages and language groups. It's probably more than that. That's all they know. But there's tons of languages. Everywhere you go, you hear people speaking other languages. The nations are here, are they not? If you didn't know that, it means you haven't gone grocery shopping. You don't go to work. You've not eaten at a restaurant. You've not done sports. I mean, you've not bought a car or anything because the nations are here. And if you get out of your house, you will see them. That's an awesome opportunity. That's an awesome opportunity to share the gospel and to become friends with them. I remember when I was living in Mexico, one of the guys I discipled, his name was Israel, and he got a chance to do a one-year student exchange in the U.S., and he came here, and he enjoyed his year. He learned, and he came back to Mexico, and we were talking, and he said, Joel, Americans are the friendliest people in the world. They will do anything for you, except they don't want to be your friend. And I'm like, that hurt. That really hurt. And what he was saying is, people are so nice and they'll do anything for you, but they're not really wanting to be your friend. You know what? You can change that narrative. We can be friends with a nation. It's good to be friends. We should keep being friendly, but we need to go another step and actually become friends with the nations. Because if you want to share the gospel with them, you got to share your lives as well. And so I want to encourage you, make friends with internationals so that you can share the gospel with them. I've been out with a new missionary sharing the gospel in the Richmond area, and I've shared with people from over 10 countries in Richmond, and I wasn't even trying very hard. Man, the nations are here. It's a great opportunity for us to share the gospel. We ought to look at that as an opportunity. Be a friend, share the gospel. And you know that when you go to work, when you play sports, when you go to school, when you buy groceries. I've probably had conversations with 10 different nations just this week. Just go out in community and they're there. It's a great opportunity. Number one, we could pray. Number two, we could. Number three, share the gospel with them. And number four, it includes going. How many of y'all been on a short-term mission trip? Would you raise your hand? It looks like about 50%. In the last group, it was like 75. A bunch of you have already been on mission trips, and a bunch of you more could go on mission trips. You know, when we do surveys of new missionaries who are giving their lives to go serve on the mission field, you know what the number one thing that influenced them is? God spoke to them when they were on a short-term mission trip. Number one, you get the joy of serving. Number two, you get to know other peoples from other cultures. But number three, God uses that sometimes to call you and to involve you more in his work. I was having lunch on the International Learning Center campus, and I was talking to this girl. She's like 23 years old, and she had been on like over 20 missionary trips, and now she was going to be a missionary. I was like, wow. She had been to more countries than I could imagine. And she's like, yeah, when I went, I just caught God's heart for the nations. I want to encourage you, get involved. You don't have to go and live somewhere else, but our church is always doing mission trips. Get in on one. That's part of how we can have God's heart for the nations. So we can pray, we can give, we can share the gospel, and we can go. And then number five is it includes sending. Our church is a sending church. We send missionaries. One of my favorite things about Pastor Jim, I sat down with him, I don't know, a year or two ago, and whenever it was, and he said, Joel, if the Lord calls you guys back to the mission field, we would be honored to be your sending church. Because Staples Mill is a sending church. And that's what we're about. We want to, everybody that's called out of our church, we're going to send. And I'm so grateful for that, because you're going to send us. But we want to send, we want to serve them, we want to support our missionaries well, and I know you will do that. We all get to participate. One of the themes of the International Mission Board this year is just the simple word, together. Because you know we can do, you know, one of you does something, another thing, and we get to all work together to do this so that God's heart for the nations might be realized. The last thing I just want to share is just if you're here and you're like, man, I'm not even a real follower of Jesus. I just go to church, but I don't know what it means to be a disciple. I've never discipled anyone. Our church could help you. We'd help you learn to be a disciple, and we learn to help you make disciples. So if you have questions about that, we would love to talk to you. But I don't know what God told you that you need to do based on today. But I'm just praying that you will have God's heart for the nations. And then whatever steps you need to do to go for it, you'll just do that. Amen? Pray with me. Father, thank you for your heart for the nations. Because if it wasn't for your heart with the nations, probably none of us would be here. But you love us, and you've blessed us, and you want your glory to be known throughout the nations. And your salvation, your gospel, and you invite us to participate in so many ways. Help me to be faithful, be obedient. The part that you've asked me to do, Lord, I just want to say yes, and I want to be obedient. And I know my family here, you've given them a role to play. Would you help them to be faithful and to be obedient to their part, whatever you've called them to do? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.